Welcome to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore. I am your co-host, Andrew McPeak, and our mission here at Growing Leaders is to empower the emerging generations with skills to lead in real life. And today we've got a really important subject, Tim, and it's a subject we've been talking about for years. It's about anxiety, but what I would say is it's starting to change. But before we get into any of that, I know as we were talking, you had a great story that you wanted to open up with that I just love.
Well, because we're talking about not just the students that have anxiety, but we, the caring adults and leaders in their lives, have anxiety, I thought of this story. So I heard it years ago. I've told it many, many times. So years ago, a man found himself terribly anxious. He was going through a stressful time in his life, and nothing seemed to give him any peace of mind. So seeing his anguish at a cafe, a waitress told him to go see Grimaldi at the local circus. Grimaldi was a clown who was the greatest source of laughter in town, and the waitress was just sure that Grimaldi would make him feel better. After a moment's hesitation, the man smiled and looked at her and said, "But I am Grimaldi." And of course, the point is, we are saying, this is the answer, but we go, "No, that's me, and I'm not the answer," you know, that sort of thing. I think very often, the students around the world are looking to their teachers, their parents, their coaches, their leaders, because we're adults, to be the source of their peace. And sometimes we're just as anxious as they are. And that's probably the number one problem for us to not experience more of a sense of peace and poise in our daily routines.
Yeah. And if you had asked me before this season, if this was a problem, I would have said, "Oh, I'm sure that there probably are adults out there. There are probably teachers and coaches and parents who are experiencing, a similar amount of anxiety to their students." But one of the things that we have experienced since this all happened is that this is a much bigger issue than even we thought it really was. And we learned it because we have some staff on our team at Growing Leaders, and their job is to stay connected with people. So they're having phone calls with teachers, they're having phone calls with coaches, different youth leaders of different kinds. And what they came back to us after about 2 weeks of everybody being self-quarantined at home, and what they said is, this is a massive problem. Right now, there are adults out there who are having to be full-time parent, full-time mom or dad, and full-time coach, teacher, leader to another group of students outside of their home at the same time. And what a lot of them are saying is, "I'm supposed to be the one who's telling my kids it's going to be okay, but I am struggling with whether or not it's actually going to be okay." And these are hard things to have to go through.
They really are. In fact, even before the COVID-19 pandemic that hit us, we would hear teachers commonly say, "My job isn't just teaching. I walk into the classroom and I'm a teacher, a cheerleader, a therapist, a coach, a police officer." And sometimes they say that tongue in cheek, but it's true. They're wearing 6 or 7 hats on any given day. It's no wonder they're anxious. They're called upon to do so many things, not just one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And now I feel like the world kind of going a little bit chaotic around us, maybe not a little bit, but a lot chaotic around us, is only really exacerbating some of those problems that we were experiencing before. And now we're experiencing them on a whole new level without the added support of those other teachers around us like they used to be. Yeah. Well, before we get into what do we do about this, I think you've got some really great insight onto why we're experiencing some of the problems that we're experiencing. I'd love for you to share some wisdom with us.
Absolutely. So, Andrew, as you well know, we're going to share 3 big ideas in this podcast, but let me set it up by saying this. I think as the 20th century ended and the 21st century launched, there were a number of factors that came together that we just didn't see coming. From economic downturns, we're in our 3rd one in 20 years, to terrorism being a major issue now. There's been so many terrorist attacks and then mass shootings. Social media, we didn't know how that would ambush us the way it has and overwhelm us. So I think it's been a perfect storm where not just the kids, but the moms, the dads, the teachers, the coaches, the administrators are feeling a higher level of angst and even panic attacks. So suicide is up, not just in kids, but adults as well. The life expectancy numbers are going down 2 years in a row. Even though we're living longer as a whole, the numbers don't show it because people are ending their life sooner than they would naturally die. It's scary. And so we wanted to dedicate a few minutes on this podcast to say, what are some practical things we can do to somehow shore off this ambush of anxiety that seems to be hitting so many of us?
Yeah, we need it now more than ever. Well, thanks, Tim. Let's get into it. Let's talk about these three big ideas, and I think they'll be helpful. Yeah.
Okay. So listeners, we have three metaphors. That should not shock you. We are metaphor people. But two of them are our habitudes. Habitudes is an image-based way of teaching life principles and leadership principles. So two of them are habitudes, and the third one is a metaphor that I think will ring true. But let me just jump in. The first one is simply called three buckets. Three buckets. So we have come to believe that everything that happens to us in our lives fits into one of three buckets. Not 30, not 50, three buckets. And if we place the experiences of our life in the proper bucket, we have less anxiety. Mm. If we place our experiences in the wrong bucket, that's when stress starts rising. So let me give you the names of these three buckets, okay? Bucket number one, it is in your control. Bucket number two, it is out of your control. And bucket number three, it's within your influence. So in your control, out of your control, within your influence. So the things that would be in your control are predictable. That would be things like your attitude on any given day, mm-hmm. your effort that you put forth, the best use of your priorities, setting the right example for your children or your students. Those are all things that are in your control. It's a limited amount, but it's a very powerful amount of activities and experiences you can fit there, okay? Now, the proper response to bucket one is, I got to take responsibility for those. I can't delegate that. I can't shove that off to someone else or hope to God somebody else steps in and saves the day.
Yeah.
The things that are in my control, I gotta take initiative and assume control over those. The items that are out of your control would be those things around you that we fret over all the time, but we got no control over. So the stress that we experience is really useless. Well, let me give you some examples. COVID-19, the coronavirus, while it's everywhere, and we do need to tend to the things that we can do, we can't control that disease.
Absolutely.
So we've got, government shutdowns, the economy, the weather. I hear many athletes complain about the weather. They go, you know what? Both teams were playing in that weather.
Yeah.
So stop complaining and just play your best in rain or water, snow or whatever. So out of your control. The items that are within your influence, this is a tricky bucket. And here's why. It's a combination of both of the first two. Some things are in your control in that last bucket, but some things are out. And you've got to do this tender balance of influencing, but not trying to control. Mm-hmm. So these would be the attitudes and effort of your team members at work or play. Creative ideas that come up. You might play a part in that, but you may not be the whole source of that. The contribution that's made by your team. Those are all things that are within your influence. You can help someone feel something or do something, but you can't force them to. And by the way, can I do a side note to moms and dads? Parents, I've parented two children of my own. They're out as adults now in their own careers. I have never once been able to control their attitude, especially as a teenager. If you can do that, I'd love to meet you and get your autograph.
You should write a book.
That's right. You should write a book at least. So you just need to know that while we can get frustrated, that's a natural human emotion, you can't control someone else's attitude. So let me reiterate what I said before, and then I'm going to kind of illustrate and we'll go on to the next one. These three buckets have been liberating to me in my own life as a grown adult, as a leader. If I will tend to those things that are in my control, then worrying about them does very little. In fact, nothing. If I tended to them, I've done all I can do. I put my head on the pillow at night and I can sleep because I've done everything I can do. The things that are out of my control, I can't do anything about them anyway. So to worry about that does not move the ball forward one iota. The things that are within my influence, that's the tricky one. I need to influence as much as I can in a positive way. And at that point, trust the process.
Mm.
So bucket number one, take responsibility. Bucket number two, trust the process. Bucket number three, influence how you can. And sleep well at night.
Mm.
So we've just got to establish, Andrew, these wise boundaries in our lives, especially during this time with the news media.
Yeah.
I feel like those who are watching the news all day long are actually more susceptible to anxiety and stress because they're watching 8 hours of bad news. I have chosen, this is just me, this is a suggestion, not anything else, but I've chosen get 30 to 60 minutes of news and then move on with your day.
Yep.
I've got the big headlines. I'm supposed to wear a mask. I'm supposed to wash my hands. I'm supposed to, you know, stay 6 feet apart from someone else. If I'm doing those things, I've done what I can do, and now I can be productive with the rest of my day.
Yeah, that's a great example.
Yeah, yeah, so huge. Now, educators listening in, let me just give a real quick footnote for you. I have found that educators are doing something very creative during this period of time where they're not with their students and they might assume, oh, it's out of my control or whatever. I love the stories, Andrew, that we're hearing of educators that are reading to their students, especially now during this coronavirus.
Yeah.
They'll get on Facebook Live and have kids really of any age. Celebrities are doing this too, reading to students. I hear about students who are taking food to elderly shut-ins. There's a movement up in New England with a whole bunch of volunteers, 1,700 volunteers called Invisible Hands, and they're controlling what's in their control and influencing the people they can influence. Videos are being made to encourage others. Concerts are being done to raise money. I love the use of the buckets when these things are done. So, yeah, it's just huge.
I love that. I love that, Tim. Well, getting these three buckets right is definitely important for us. It's also important for these students that we're leading. And so, in fact, this was so important, we actually made one of our home chats about the three buckets. And if you haven't gotten to check that out yet, it could be a way for you to have the three bucket conversation with your kids. You just go to growingleaders.com/home chats and you can find out more about it there. So the first one was three buckets, which is a fantastic metaphor. I think you've got another fantastic metaphor for us in order to take better care of ourselves.
Yeah. In the very first Habitudes course, these images, there's an image called the starving baker. And I believe, especially in this season, it is most relevant. So the starving baker is the baker that spends so much time baking bread for others, he forgets to eat and he starves himself.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of an irony. In fact, Andrew, we love to imagine the scenario of this very busy baker in this very busy bakery or bagel shop, and everybody's crowding in and getting their donuts and bread and pastries and so forth. And as you watch this guy, you see two things that just stand out like a sore thumb. One is the baker's doing everything himself, from wiping down the tables to taking the money at the cash register to taking the pastries out of the oven. And then the thing that's most conspicuous is this baker's really skinny.
Mm.
And that's when the irony hits you. Isn't it crazy? All this food is all around him, but he's so busy serving it up to other people, he's not eating himself. I believe this is the number one occupational hazard of leaders and teachers. We're starving bakers.
Yeah.
We're serving up lesson plans for everybody else to help them learn and grow. And yet I think we stop growing sometimes. In fact, teachers, come on, let's get honest. If we're using the same lesson plan we used 6 years ago, how are we still growing? So why don't we update that thing? Why aren't we continually learning, listening to TED Talks, reading books, making sure that we're learning just as much now as we did when we were in school and getting graded for it? So let me just offer, Andrew, if you don't mind, I'd like to just offer a simple list of ways that you can prevent yourself from being a starving baker.
I love this.
Yeah. Number one, keep reading. Keep reading. I just encourage you to do that. Keep listening to podcasts, reading books, magazine articles. Keep interacting with mentors and mentees. All those things, especially during this time, can be done, and it keeps you growing and keeps you fresh every morning. Number two, lead, read, and feed yourself first. Then you're going to be able to take care of others. So this sounds selfish, but it's actually selfless. You got to lead yourself before you lead anybody else. Tell yourself what to do before you tell your kids what to do. Read yourself before you read anybody else. You might judge or critique or even evaluate your students, but are you evaluating yourself? Mm. How's your attitude? How are you doing in your growth? And then feed. I actually believe the most selfless thing we can do is feed ourselves so that it naturally happens when we spend time with our students. You know, one of the most scary stories I think I've heard out of this pandemic that we're in right now, Andrew, is this. Up in New York City, where they've been hit the hardest with the coronavirus, I heard about 23% of the first responders were actually getting infected.
Mm.
So in other words, almost one out of four of these fire departments and medical workers and police officers going in were actually getting exposed and being infected. Now, my hat's off to them. I'm thinking, God bless you for going in and doing these hard things, risking your own life. But teachers, parents, listen to me. We're moving in to our anxious students, and I think anxiety is contagious too.
Yes.
I think it can be just as effective. And if we're not growing, we will catch that anxiety virus. Pardon me if this is offensive. I don't mean to be, but I'm just, we can catch it just like you can catch anything else.
Yes.
In fact, I think anxiety might be more contagious. It's airborne.
Yeah.
You can catch it. It's in the air. So we've just got to make sure we're tending to ourselves.
Yeah. And this is what's happening with a lot of these teachers who they're watching their kids and experience stress. And instead of having wisdom for them, they're kind of going, well, hey, me too, you know?
Yeah,
And I think this is a case in which I think we've got to try our best to do better than that. Try our best
no
to do
doubt.
Better than that.
In fact, Andrew, you and I find ourselves wanting to do this all the time. I'm just going to push pause and say this to our listeners. If you're an educator out there or a parent or anybody that works with kids, we feel your pain, at least some of your pain that you feel. Many of us are teachers. Many of us are parents at home with kids. And this is a time where we're all together. We also believe we are going to come through this season. So
yes.
The starving baker is just a principle that we remind each other of in our office. And I'm just bringing you into our family and saying, please, please, please work intentionally to not be a starving baker.
Absolutely. The things that can feed you and nourish you are still around you, just like that baker surrounded by his own food.
Yeah,
so we just encourage you, whatever it is you need to do to be healthy and to make good decisions to feed yourself, please do those things in this time. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you, Tim. Let's move on to that third metaphor.
Yeah, the third and final metaphor is a picture I know you've all imagined on your own without my help, but I think it's especially relevant during this time. I want to talk to you about ducks on a pond. So my wife and I downsized a few years ago. We have a house that's smaller now, but it's right on a man-made lake just outside of Atlanta, Georgia. In fact, I'm looking at it right now. It's a beautiful lake. We've got a little pontoon boat. It's just a nice, relaxing area. But we have ducks on our pond. And those ducks just look so poised as they move across the lake. There's often a little mama duck with little ducklings behind her, just moving along so gracefully. But that's because we only see what's above the surface.
Yep, yep.
You and I both know that below the surface, those little web feet are paddling as fast as possible. In fact, sometimes they're paddling really fast to get away from whatever's behind them. The point, of course, is this. What's above the surface may look very different than what's below. I believe that just like everybody knows how graceful ducks look as they swim across a pond, I think we also know that what we see above the water is different than what's happening below. Peace up above that we can all see stirring down below to keep moving forward. I think as a leader, we've got to make sure that the model we're setting for those that watch us are poise. It doesn't mean we're hiding something. We just make sure we're paddling underneath. We don't need to be freaking out or panicking verbally in front of our children, which actually makes it worse for them. That's like sneezing on them, folks. It is. So I just want you to, again, keep this metaphor in your mind. It's very simple. Duck on a water. I'm poised above the surface. I'm paddling below, but I'm making sure my paddling is moving me forward, not in every direction, like an octopus on roller skates. And I'm making sure that's hidden for others to see.
I love that.
Yeah. So there's some really practical ways you can do this. I think there's three actions, to be specific, that foster peace of mind and they combat anxiety above the surface. The first one is a concept I've talked about before. My guess is you've heard others talk about this too. Mindfulness. And by that, I simply mean stop, breathe. Focus. Don't pay attention to everything at once. Be mindful of one item. meditate on something positive, or maybe a key truth, or maybe a proverb that you know, or a great quote you know, maybe even a passage of scripture, but take charge of your thoughts. Part of the reason we have more anxiety today than we did 100 years ago is we consume so much more information than we did 100 years ago. And sometimes we're mindful of all of it at once, or at least 20 things at once instead of one.
Yeah.
So can I encourage you to monotask instead of multitask? Just be mindful. Number two, movement. You and I know that human beings were made to move. We're made for motion. In fact, when we're sedentary all day long, it's not good for our brains. We may think we're thinking a lot and getting a lot done, but without breaks of motion, we're just not going to be at our best. And anxiety will build up. You see, you know this, but when you get up and move around, endorphins are released in your body. That's the happy chemical, okay? This is what makes you feel better. You don't move around, there's not as many endorphins going through. I get a few maybe with a great creative thought that makes me want to throw up my hands and say, this is awesome or whatever, but it's not the same. So let's say you're a mom or a dad, and let's say your kid's doing homework, it's, you know, at home right now. What if you got up and just shot hoops at the basketball, in the driveway at the basketball court? Just shoot some hoops while you're doing the spelling or the math or the history review. Something that keeps you moving, because it's going to unlock those chemicals that just make you feel better and fights anxiety.
Love that.
Yep. And then the third one, real fast, is margin. Part of my problem, if I struggle with anxiety at all, is due to overcomplicated lives. I've tried to cram too much into the day, into the hour, and I'm, yeah. Margin simply means you create space in your day for those things that you do not plan on happening, but they happen anyway. I even got to the place during certain seasons of our life. Andrew, you and I both go through a very busy fall season. August, it's destined to be full. You and I have to plan for things are going to happen we didn't count on.
Yep.
And I'm going to be much wiser if I just know that's coming and I don't get stressed out about it. So here's a challenge for you, listeners. Be a minimalist for a week.
Yes.
Just simplify your life. Minimize. Give away some clothes that you don't wear anymore. Whatever you got to do to just make life less cluttered and less complicated, I think it's going to help your stress level.
That's awesome. Yeah, three absolutely. Great pieces of advice and three great ways we can paddle under the surface, right, to keep ourselves headed in a healthy direction. Well, Tim, this is awesome. Three amazing metaphors, very helpful advice. I think you wanted to tell one last story just to kind of wrap us up here.
I would. In fact, if you don't mind, I want to do two quick ones. I know we're short on time here.
Please.
But one of the stories, Andrew, you and I have noodled on much, especially during these last 2 months when we've been facing this huge pandemic that the whole world is now facing, is how much useful this time can be if we leverage it well. And one of our favorite stories is Isaac Newton.
Yes.
So way back in 1665, it was one of the years of the Great Black Plague. Many of you know, if you know your world history, Europe went through this horrible plague where millions died. And part of that was the Plague of London in 1665. So at the time, Isaac Newton was a college student at Cambridge University. And they did their own version of social distancing. They sent all the students home, just like today. Well, Isaac Newton got home, and I don't know, maybe thank God he didn't have Netflix. He didn't waste any time. He stayed curious and started exploring. It was during that plague at home when he invented calculus. Now, some of you may be angry that he had that time alone now because it was calculus.
But
he invented calculus. He came up with his theories on optics. He actually got a prism and he started experimenting, came up with his theories on optics that still stand to this day. And then finally, he came up with his theories on the laws of gravity and the law of motion. This is when that legendary tale of the apple falling from the tree that he saw and came with this law of gravity. Folks, this happened because he wasn't in his normal routines.
Yeah.
And when he returned 1 year later to Cambridge University, within a year, he was a fellow, and within 2 years, a professor.
Mm.
Not bad for a great black plague.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is if we use our time wisely, this can be huge. Now, one quick last story, a contemporary story. I have a dear friend named Colin, and he and I were talking on the phone. He lives in West Texas, where oil is a big source of their their revenue in that part of the state. And he said, Tim, every 4 or 5 years, things just get anxious here. And it's especially anxious now with COVID-19. But he said, Tim, my son gave me the best compliment I've gotten paid all year long accidentally the other day. He and I were just putting around near the house. And he said, my son looked at me and he said, Dad, Mom's getting a little anxious, isn't she, about all that's going on and you know, just what's happening. And my friend Colin said, yeah, she is getting a little anxious, son. And then he said, my son paused and he looked at me and he said, but you're not anxious, are you, Dad? And Colin smiled and he said, no, son, I'm not. And his son just gave him that smile that said, that's all I needed to hear. Mm. Listeners, I'm thinking maybe, just maybe, there's a teenager or a child that just needs to see a grown-up say with honesty, I'm not fretting over this. We're going to get through it. And maybe that's all the signal they need to get from you today.
Mm. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Tim. I appreciate all the wise advice. I know that there's a lot of people out there who are going through some really tough times, and we just want to be here to support you and encourage you. However we can support you, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. I did want to throw out there to you specifically the content that Tim talked about with how to manage stress and anxiety. We actually put that content into our brand new book, Generation Z Unfiltered. If that resource would be helpful to you and you want to dig a little bit deeper into that content about how to talk about stress and anxiety with Generation Z, pick up a copy of that book today. It's GenerationZUnfiltered.com. You can also find it on Amazon. If you would rate this podcast, give us 5 stars. We would really appreciate it. It gets the word out about what we're doing here. Connect with us on social media. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We are at Growing Leaders and at Tim Elmore everywhere you are. And then lastly, if you've got ideas for this podcast, things you want to throw out to us, people you want us to interview, shoot us an email. It's podcast@growingleaders.com. We love getting those. Thank you, Tim, so much for giving us this wisdom in this time. Please, everybody, stay safe out there, and we'll see you next time.